All right, Psalm 11. The word provoke. We're talking about provoking parents. We talked about this last week, and I want to do it again this morning. What does the word provoke mean? In your handout, it says the word provoke means to call into action. All right, provoke means to call into action, to move, to stir up. Now, I can provoke my kids either positively, or I can provoke them and call them into action in a negative sense. Let me give you an example. Look on the screen. Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." So I can provoke my kids in a way that will make them be angry and rebellious children. But then there's a positive way I can provoke them. Let's bring up Hebrews 10 and verse 24, where it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So I can provoke my kids to love and to good works. Now, parents, do you want to see your kids grow up to love God? Yes or no? Of course we do. Grandparents, do you want to see your grandkids grow up to love God? Yes, absolutely. We want to see our kids grow up and live a godly life that honors the Lord. I know I do, and I'm sure you do too. But I can assure you it doesn't happen by accident. You know, there's a lot of parents that are out there. They're just kind of hoping that their kids will turn out all right. They're just kind of trying to, they're trying to get their kids through childhood, trying to get them through the teen years, hoping that they won't get in any serious kind of trouble. And a lot of parents feel like, if I can get my kids through the teen years and not have them get in any serious kind of trouble, then I've been a success. And that's really not a very good goal. That's really kind of sad to make that your goal, just to get them through the teen years without any serious problems. To me, that's kind of like a Super Bowl coach, and they're getting ready to play the Super Bowl, and they interview one of the coaches that's one of the Super Bowl teams, and they say, "Tell me, coach, what's your goal for the Super Bowl?" And the coach says, "My goal for this game is simply to keep all of our players from getting injured." Excuse me? I just want to keep, what's your offensive plan? Just to keep them from getting injured. Well, what's your defensive plan? I just want to keep them from getting injured. Well, coach, tell me, is there any kind of goal as far as winning the game? No, I don't care about winning. I just want to keep them from getting injured. Now, what would you think about that coach? You'd think he's a little nutty, you know. He's a little woo-hoo, you know. Well, that's like a lot of parents. I just want to get them through the teen years without them getting any kind of serious kind of trouble. Well, think about it. As a parent, we're to have an intentional biblical strategy for raising up a child that loves the Lord and that wants to live a godly life. The Bible teaches the idea of proactively training. Look at this verse. I'm going to bring it up. What's the very first word of that verse? Train. Train up a child in the way he should go. You're giving him direction. You're giving him training. You're equipping him. Why? So that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's bring back up this verse, Ephesians 6:4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." That's the negative. But look at the positive. Bring them up. That means to train. You're equipping them. You're training them. You're giving them direction. Bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. What's that saying? God wants parents, Christian parents, to be proactive and not reactive. It's not the idea that you wait until your child gets into trouble to begin doing something or to begin implementing biblical principles. No, you need to be proactive. You need to have a plan in place. And so last Sunday morning and this morning, and I want to try to help give you a plan. Now, last week, we talked about the fact that we live in a world that specializes in telling lies to our children. Would you agree with me on that? They tell our kids lies, and the devil wants that. So what's the answer to a lie? Remember last week? What's the only answer to help our kids overcome lies? Is to give them what? Give them the truth. And so we talked about the importance of seeing to it that your children develop the habit of going to God's Word every single day and getting truth in them. Now, there's another problem we face, though, and that's this. If you'll look in your handout, it says, "In this world, Satan is trying so hard, to completely blur any line between right and wrong." And man, this is so true. Those of you who are out there, you know what I'm talking about. Satan's trying to blur the line, any line between right and wrong. Today they teach our children situational ethics, which is rooted in a humanistic worldview. They teach our children today, many times in the school system, they teach them there are no moral absolutes, but rather they teach a system of amorality. That is, that there is no right and there is no wrong. One of the things that was made popular is the idea of values clarification. Now, your kid may bring home a piece of paper, or you may see something in his textbook that talks about values clarification. And you may naively think, well, wow, that's great. They're teaching my kid values over there in the public school system. No. Values clarification, here's what it means. It means that the values, the moral codes, and the beliefs of your parents and your church are outmoded and irrelevant. They're not even relevant. That neither parents nor church has the right to impose those values on you, kids. That's what they tell them. Any value, and many of you teenagers have told me that you are taught this in school. Any value that you choose for yourself, they tell them, that's the right one. Whether it's deciding to engage in premarital sex, whether it's deciding you're a homosexual at age 11, whether it's the right to get an abortion, whether it's taking drugs, as long, they tell the kids, as long as you have freely chosen your value and your behavior yourself, then it's the right one. Because there's no such thing as right or wrong. I mean, what's right for you, it may be wrong for somebody over here. And what's wrong for you may be right for somebody over here. Values clarification is what they're teaching our children. Well, I want you to look what the Bible says. Look at Psalm 11 and verse number 7. It says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Now, I want you to look at that verse. According to that verse, what is God? God is what? He's righteous. He always does right. Okay, according to that verse, what does God love? He loves when people do right. He loves it when people do right. And then notice, his countenance doth behold the upright. In other words, God takes notice of a righteous person. So now the question comes, well, how do I define right and wrong? Well, let me ask you this. We said God in his character is what? Righteous. Then if God's very character is one of righteousness, if God can only do right, what kind of words would we expect to come out of God's mouth? Righteous words. That's right, truth. Go over to Psalm 119. Psalm number 119. Everybody turn over there. I want you to see a great verse. Psalm 119, 172. How do we define right and wrong? There's only one way. There's only one way, teenagers, for you to know right from wrong. Look at Psalm 119 and verse number 172. Teenagers, I want you to listen like you have never listened before. Psalm 119, 172. The psalmist says to God, "My tongue shall speak of what? Thy word." He says, "My tongue is going to speak, God, of thy word." Now look at this. "For all thy commandments are what? Righteous." They, all of God's commandments are what? Righteous. If God's word proceeds from his righteous character. Now look. If God's word proceeds forth from his righteous character, and if God can only do right because his very essence is righteousness, then what kind of words would we expect? What kind of commandments would we expect to come out of God's mouth? Righteousness. Therefore, teenagers, how do I define right and wrong? I define it by God's what? God's word. I want you to get that in your handout. God's word is the definition of righteousness. God's word, hey, guess what? There are, in fact, moral absolutes. Can I get an amen out there today? There are moral absolutes. There is right and wrong. And God's word defines right and wrong. Parents, it is vital that we instill in our kids the principle of righteousness. We teach our children to embrace right. We teach them to embrace right and to shun wrong. We teach them to embrace righteousness as defined by God's Word. Now you say, why is that so crucial? I want you to go to Psalm 37. Psalm number 37. And I want to give you, in your handout, five reasons why it's crucial that you teach your kids to embrace what's right. Psalm 37, verse 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. The psalmist says, mark the perfect man. That means mature. Mark that perfect, that spiritually mature man, and behold the upright. That's the person who does right. Well, what's the promise for the person that does right? For the end of that man is what? Peace. I want you to get this in your handout. We instill righteousness in our kids because doing right brings peace. You know, I see so many kids and teenagers out there today who are full of inner turmoil. There is no peace in their heart. There is no peace in their life. And it's because they've been taught this idea, there's no right or wrong, you can experiment with this, you can do that. And they go out here and they're looking for peace in pleasure, they're looking for peace in things, and there's this inner turmoil in their life. You see so many kids today that lack peace. There's just no peace in their life. That's because we must instill in them the principle of righteousness. God says, when you do that, the end of that man is peace. Number two, doing right brings God's strength. I want you to look at Psalm 37 again, verse 39. Go down two verses. It says, but the salvation of the who? Righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Hey, are your kids going to encounter trials in life? Absolutely they will. They're going to have their times out there, and they're going to have some rough moments in their life. But what's going to give them strength? What's going to keep them stable? What's going to stabilize our kids as they grow up into adults and they go out here and they encounter trials and trouble and problems? What's the stabilizing force in their life? What is it that's going to strengthen them? What is it that gives them that anchor of hope? It's, notice, righteousness. The salvation of the righteous, he said. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Number three, we need to teach our kids to embrace righteousness because doing right brings joy. I want you to go to Psalm 32. If you'll go back a couple psalms. Psalm 32. A great verse. You ought to underline it. Psalm 32 verse 11. It says, be glad in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Say that with me. Be glad in the Lord. And then what does he say? Rejoice. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Who? Ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. You know, it's amazing to me how many children today, I mean, as a kid, you expect kids to kind of be happy and to kind of be joyful, but so many kids are miserable today. So many kids are just miserable. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, those of you that are around kids very much. You know how many kids are just, you can just see it all over their face. You know, little kids, how you doing there, sonny boy? They just got that frown, that scowl on their face. You know what? Doing right brings joy. Number four, doing right brings life. I want you to go to Proverbs, the next book after Psalms. Go to Proverbs 11. Okay, right after Psalms is the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 11 and verse number 19, please. Proverbs 11:19. Doing right brings life. Proverbs 11:19. It says, as righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. In the way of righteousness is what? Life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Look at verse 21. Proverbs 21, 21. Proverbs 21, 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Doing right brings life, true life. Number five, and it's the last thing at the bottom of your handout. Doing right brings reward. Proverbs 11. Go back to chapter 11 again. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 18. Doing right brings reward. Proverbs 11, 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure what? Reward. Now look up here. Look up here, and I want you to follow this now. You say, why do I need to instill righteousness in my kids? Why do I need to teach them to embrace what's right as defined by God's word? What did we say? Can you participate and say it with me? Number one, we said doing right brings peace in your child's life. Number two, doing right brings God's strength. Number three, doing right brings joy. Number four, doing right brings life. Number five, doing right brings reward. Now look up here. Is there a parent who does not desire those things for their kids? I don't think so. I think we all do. I got a 19, a 12, and a 10-year-old boys. And man, I want those things for their life. Man, I want them to have the joy of the Lord. I want them to have a true life. I want them to have God's strength when trouble comes. I want them to be able to have these things in their life, the peace of God in their heart. I want them to have those things. Then I have to teach my children to obey God and to do what is right as defined by His Word. And listen, when we instill the habit of doing right in our kids, in our teenagers, other areas of training and spiritual development follow more easily. For example, I'll give you an example. Look at the screen here. Ephesians 6:1. It says, say it with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Wait, stop. Why should kids obey their parents in the Lord? For this is right. For this is right. So when I've instilled in my kids the concept, we do what's right in this house. When I've instilled in their hearts to accept righteousness, then it only makes sense to obey mom and dad. Why? Because it's right. Then all of a sudden, my kid has no problem reading their Bible every day. Why? Because that's right. They have no problem staying morally and sexually pure. Why? Because it's right. They have no problem respecting authority, going to church, listening to the right kind of music. Why? Because it's right. It's just the right thing to do. So we need to instill this in our children. It's vital. It's crucial that we teach our kids to embrace righteousness as defined by the Word of God. Do you agree with me this morning? You say, I agree, Pastor Dan. I see the importance. I understand that. But how do we do this? I want you to turn your hand out over, and I want to give you four quick things. How do we instill the principle of righteousness in our kids? Number one, teach righteousness as a precept. In other words, teach it directly and teach it over and over and over and over again. You tell your kids over and over again, we do what's right. Listen, kids, we always do what's right. Now, do your kids always do what's right? No. But at a young age, you instill in them that conviction. And they begin to become predisposed to that conviction. We do what's right. Make it a topic of family discussion. Pick a verse and read it before supper, after supper, at breakfast, at night, before you go to bed. There's a whole slew of verses right here in this lesson to get you started. I mean, Proverbs 11:7, the one we started the message with. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and His face doth behold the upright. What a great verse to discuss with your kids and talk about. How about this one out of Paul's epistles? Romans chapter 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Look at this. Neither yield ye your members, your body, as instruments of what? Unrighteousness unto sin. He said, but I want you to yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And He said, I want you to yield your members as instruments of what? righteousness unto God. Great verses to discuss with your kids. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 15:34. Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And you can discuss with your kids that, hey, listen, we need to do what's right. Why? We have the knowledge of God. We have His Word. He hasn't left us ignorant. Therefore, we need to do what's right. Now look, children by their very nature, they tend to do what they do because they want to or they don't want to. Children tend to be motivated by what's fun. That is as natural as their old nature that they were born with, but we need to instill in them a higher way of living. And in your handout, it says, rather than doing what they want to do, we must teach children to do what they ought to do. To do what is right. And there's some of those verses that we looked at. Now, what kid has not said, oh, Mom, I don't want to? My wife regularly has my sons load and unload the dishwasher. Can I let you know a little secret? They don't like it. They don't like to unload the dishwasher, and they don't like to load it. Oh, Mom, I don't want to. And you know what the answer is? That's not the issue. The issue is not whether or not you want to or whether or not it's fun. Do you eat on the dishes? Do you like having a fork? Yeah. Then you're going to help. Why? Because it's right. And if it's right, then that settles it. But Dad, this isn't fun. I don't want to clean the garage. But most of the junk's yours. The bikes and the balls and the helmets, it's all your junk. And so guess what? You're going to clean the garage. Whether you want to or not isn't the issue. You're going to clean the garage. Why? Because it's right. Well, wait a minute though, Dad. I don't remember a verse in the Bible, thou shalt clean the garage. No. But there is a verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so if your parents tell you to clean the garage, guess what's the right thing to do? Clean the garage. Now, isn't that simple? But so much of our modern culture is based upon the fun motive. And so many parents will not make their children do anything they don't want to do. If the little fella doesn't want to do it, then he doesn't have to do it. Fun is not wrong. Okay, now I like to have fun just as much as the next guy, and we have a lot of it. But a philosophy of life that's based upon having fun is not only shallow, it can be very dangerous. If parents reinforce the fun principle to their kids in adolescence, then they grow up into teenage years, it can lead to some tragic results. You say, well, what are you talking about? If kids only have to do what's fun, and they're never made to do anything that's not fun or that they don't want to do, and they've learned to live life by this principle of whatever's pleasurable, then that's okay, I'll just do that. Then what happens? They get to be 16 years old and they have a weapon called a car. And they get behind the car and they say, man, I like speeding, man. I like going 100 miles per hour down this two-lane road. This is fun. Oh, I know the speed limit's 45, but you know what? I like doing it. It's fun. And then their car is wrapped around a telephone pole. Well, but I like going to the parties with my teenage friends and drinking. Oh, yeah, until you get date raped and then you end up pregnant. You see, it's very dangerous to raise up children that don't understand right and wrong is defined by God's Word. And that we do right because God says so. And we have to root the principle of righteousness into the lives of our children long before they reach the crucial teenage years. Righteousness is said to be a buckler and a shield. It'll keep them out of a whole lot of trouble. Teach righteousness as a precept. Teach it over and over and over again. It ought to be like a broken record. Oh, why do I have to do that? Because it's... See, you guys have caught on to it already. Well, why do I have to clean my room? I don't want to clean my room. I'll tell you why you need to clean your room. Because it's right. It's not right for mom to come behind you and clean the garage. You made the mess. It's the right thing to do for you to clean it. Well, I don't... But I want to play my video game. I don't want to do my homework. I want to play my video game. Well, you know what? I am amazed at how many parents will let their kids do whatever they want to do. You know what? You're going to turn that off and you're going to do your homework. Why? Because it's right. Which brings me to the second point of the message, and that is this. Parents, we have to apply the principle of righteousness. First you teach it, but then you apply it. So what do you mean? Talk without action really means very little. If you teach your child, we always do what's right, and then you don't insist that they do right in their daily lives, then your teaching means very little. It carries very little weight. In other words, in your handout it says, you have to back up your words with action. When your kids want to disobey, it says in your handout, you must insist upon obedience. That's your job as a parent. You insist upon obedience. Why? Why do you insist upon obedience, parents? Because it's right. Look at Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in how many things? In all things. Why? Because it's well pleasing unto the Lord. They want to listen to the wrong kind of music. You say, no, we're not doing that in this house. You're not bringing that stuff in here with the foul, vulgar language and talking about all these nasty things. You're not going to listen to that. Well, why not? Everybody else is. Because it's not right. You're not going to watch the wrong kind of movies. Oh, but my friend. No, you're not going to do it. Why? It's not right. You're not going to have the wrong kind of attitudes. You're not going to play instead of do your homework. No way. Not doing it. Why? It's not right. You're not going to quit this event that you started just because you don't like it anymore, because it's not fun anymore. You're not going to quit the team. You're not going to quit what you're doing. Why? It's not right. It's not right to quit like that. I'm going to share something with you, parents, that is very, very deep and meaty, and it's very powerful, and I want you to grasp this. You ready for this? This is weighty. Your kids don't run the house. Now, wasn't that profound? Your kids don't run the house. I can't believe how many kids run the house. And they know if I pout enough, if I throw a temper tantrum, I'll get my way. And they manipulate mom and dad. I've seen parents, the three-year-old runs the house. God gave your kids parents for a reason. You are the parent. You must take the word of God and apply the principle of right and wrong to the lives of your children on a daily basis. There has to be a daily application of the principle of righteousness. But I want to talk on the phone till midnight. No, you're not going to do it. Why? It's not right. Well, why not? How, you ever hear that one? No, you're not going to do it. It's not right. Now, can a child understand the basic Bible precept of righteousness, of right and wrong? Can a child understand that? Yes or no? Absolutely. But you have to daily apply it to their life. Number three, here's the third thing. If you're going to teach your kids to embrace righteousness, number three, you teach righteousness by example. Have you ever heard more is caught than taught? In other words, what we do in your handout, what we do speaks louder than what we say. Our walk talks louder than our talk. Our walk talks louder than our talk. Look at the verse up here. I want to show you a neat verse. Grandparents, look at this verse. Paul tells Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that means non-hypocritical, real, genuine, it's the real deal. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy what? Grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I think it's so cool that Paul mentions Timothy's grandmother. And he says, man, the faith I see in you, I saw it in your grandmother and I saw it in your mother. We need to teach our kids by example. And inconsistency. Now hear this. Inconsistency on the part of the parent will do more to breed rebellion in your child than virtually any other thing. And what I mean by inconsistency is this. Okay, there's two different thoughts on this of inconsistency. Some parents are very inconsistent in their application of right and wrong. For instance, mom's in a good mood today, so she allows the kid to backtalk her. She's in a bad mood the next day, so she doesn't allow it. Dad allows the kid to listen to this music today, but then he doesn't tomorrow. Dad allows the kid to talk a certain way today, but then tomorrow he doesn't. Inconsistency on the part of the parent will breed rebellion in your children. Another form of inconsistency is this. Children can spot hypocrites a mile away. For instance, when you say, don't you curse and use that kind of language, and then he hears you in another room one day on the phone with a friend using the same kind of language. But a consistent example will do more to reinforce what you say than anything else in the world. In your handout, it says, if your life is not consistent with what you teach, you are sowing the seeds of rebellion. As they get older, they'll begin to pick up more and more on that, and those seeds of rebellion will grow. You may be able to get by with it when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You may get by with telling them to do something and then they see you not do it and you don't practice what you preach. You may be able to get by with that, but boy, when they get to be teenagers, look out. Have you ever noticed they tend to get mouthy when they get to be teenagers? Yeah, they get mouthy and they begin to pick up on that stuff unless you have earned that respect and they see you living what you tell them to live. Number four, the fourth thing is this. Teach righteousness, parents, early and long. As soon as they're able to understand speech, you begin to instill in them the principle of right. For instance, can a toddler understand speech? Some of you, it's been a while since you've had kids, I can tell. Can a toddler understand speech? Oh, yeah. Can a toddler understand the word no? Yes. Yes, they can. And what you do is you teach them, as soon as they're able to understand speech, that principle of right, that we do what's right, and you teach that through childhood, up through the teenage years, until they leave the nest. And do you have any idea what that's going to do for your child? Let me show you what it's going to do. Can we go to the PowerPoint screen? And Jesus made this statement. He said, and look, can we go to, oh yeah, I forgot that one. He said, he told Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, Timothy, you've known the Scriptures since you were a what? Now, what's it going to do for your kid when you instill in them that principle of right and wrong? Look at the screen, and let's go to it. Can we go to it, please? Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. They've learned, that's the kid that's learned to do right, because this is what God's Word says. He said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew. And that's going to happen in your kid's life. Your kid is going to grow up and the storms of life are going to beat on your child. And it says, they beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That kid learned the principle of righteousness. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. This is the kid that learned how to manipulate mom and dad. This is the kid that pouted and got his way. This is the kid who screamed loud enough and kicked the walls and mom and dad gave in. This is the kid that heard God's word but wasn't made to obey it. He shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Do you know how many Christian parents have wept and cried because of a child? That great was the fall of that child. Because they didn't teach them that we take God's word and we obey it. And they didn't insist on obedience. They didn't teach their kids to embrace righteousness. And great was the fall of that child. And in your handout, it says, when you teach your children to embrace what's right, this will provide a foundation that will serve your child well, his or her entire life.